Ecclesiastes is one of those books that you know it's written by Solomon. You know he's the wisest man upon the face of the earth, at least at that time. And the Lord said a greater than Solomon is here, and he's referring to himself, and we thank the Lord for that. But there are phrases in Ecclesiastes that grab my attention, and I return to them from different times because it's just interesting that Solomon would make those statements and then make mistakes. I guess the human frailty, excuse me, comes through pretty clear in Solomon's life as well. But he did make some amazing statements. And one of them is in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. Excuse me. I'm thankful that his statement here is not just a recognition that there's going to be a beautiful place called heaven. I believe there is. Praise God. Beyond imagination, beyond what we have heard or what we've seen. There's some beautiful places on the face of the earth. And I thank God we've had the privilege of living right in the middle of one of the best. Praise God. But heaven, oh my, defies description. But this verse says, he hath made. I'm so glad that our God still makes by his creative power everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. It's beyond our comprehension, beyond our imagination. But I'm thankful that we have witnessed what he has made beautiful in our hearts and in our lives. Praise God. And no wonder we have a jubilee about that from time to time. Thank God. And we can sing about the changes that the Lord has made, the deliverance, the salvation, the healing, the restoration, because he makes things beautiful. Praise God. You can be seated. Obviously, this applies to our mothers, to our ladies. Thank you for being beautiful. You're looking like a very special group today. Amen. Well, you always do, but today just seems a little more special. Thank the Lord. God saw what he had made and he said, that's good. He wasn't even done. He wasn't even completed with it. Go ahead and rejoice in the process. Go ahead and rejoice in the steps that you're taking. Praise God. And we thank the Lord that he makes it good. Amen. That's the kind of work that he does. Philippians 1 and 6 is so powerful that being confident of this, that he which hath begun a good work. Everybody say good work. Good work. That's the kind of work our God does. Good. Yes. He hath begun a good work in you, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, till the day that Jesus comes back, that work is going to continue. Peter preached in Acts 10:38, declaring that the Lord came. The Lord did works. And what he did was good. He went about doing good. Praise God. And I'm thankful he still goes about doing good. And we see the results of it again and again. Thank the Lord. And we keep that good work going in our lives. It's not just a sliver of time. It's just not a slice of a pie in our lives. But it's what God continues to do. And we want that to continue. Praise God. Now, Satan, of course, is working as well. And his work is to make a mess out of what God said was good. And unfortunately, he is succeeding in some of that effort. He's had 6,000 years to do it, and he's getting better and better at it. Not better in the sense of the outcome being good, but better in his expertise in bringing deceit, bringing lies, bringing destruction, bringing damage. But our God is able to reverse that. Thank the Lord. And I'm thankful that he provides the blessing of God in our lives. Amen. Most dads, we're going to honor our dads in a month or so. Most dads would feel very threatened, very offended, very angry if something were to happen to their children, if something were to be done to their children. Most dads would stand up and say, wait a minute. The devil knows that he can get to our Heavenly Father through his children. He knows that. And so that's why he attacks. That's why he tries to defeat. That's why he brings so much deception onto your doorstep and tries to pull things down that the Lord has done a good work in your life. Amen. Let's make sure he's not successful, the devil, that is. He's not successful in bringing a hurt and a pain and a shame to our Heavenly Father. Let's continue on with the Lord and do the work that God wants to do in our lives. Praise God. I'm thankful that it is a new birth, not just a New Year's resolution, not just turning over a new leaf, as the saying goes, a page, you know, a new page that we can write on and start over fresh and start over new. I'm thankful it's a total new birth that the Lord is able to bring forth. Praise God. At creation, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Those two elements, Spirit and water, are involved in the new birth. And thank God it's powerful, just as creation was powerful. And the Lord spoke it into existence. Thank God there's a work that he does in our life that is tangible, a work that is real, a work that is powerful. As we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Thank God. Not just any old way, not just any old time, but we obey what the Word of God says and follow that example in being baptized in the name above every name and being filled with the power of His Spirit. And the supernatural sign is speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Not gibberish, not noise, not something made up, but something powerful in the Spirit of God moving and working in our lives. Praise God. I'm thankful for the Lord and what he's able to do in his power. Praise God. I talked about those women earlier that were with the Lord. Mary Magdalene was one of them who was at the tomb and witnessed the horrible death of the Lord and felt so bad. In fact, Mark brings out the point that she was there and 7 demons had been cast out of her. Now, Mark is not trying to smudge her reputation. He's not trying to bring up her past to make it seem as though she doesn't really deserve to be here. No, he's pointing out she's still delivered. She's still walking with the Savior. She's still serving God. She's not serving those demons anymore. Count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. She's still walking with the Lord and not serving in those demonic capacities. Thank God for the change that our God brings. Thank God for the power that he displays. Amen. Her lifestyle may have been immoral. She may have been involved in things that brought torment and turmoil, but thank God for truth that the Lord made a difference in her life. The devil tries to defeat truth. He is a deceiver. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's the thief who steals and kills and destroys. He had nothing to do with truth, but thank God our God knows how to make you free because of the power of his truth. Mary Magdalene was delivered. She was healed. Thank God. And then she ministered. Thank the Lord for the blessing of God to do a work in our lives. Amen. And it's disgusting how Hollywood wants to smear that and make it seem as though there were immoral relationships that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, had with those women. That's not the case. That's not the case. That's an example, a prime example, of how the devil is trying to deceive. And there are those who would want to make Jesus just a man, not deity, not divinity, just a man, and fit in with Muhammad, who had multiple wives, or fit in with Krishna, who fooled around with the milkmaids, or like Buddha, who left his wife in search and his young son in search of something, you know, left his responsibility as a husband, as a father, trying to make Jesus fit in those categories. But oh, I'm thankful I know him as the Almighty God. I'm thankful I know him as the Prince of Peace. I'm thankful I know him as Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. I'm thankful I know him over the one who does a good work. Hallelujah. And he can make over the things in our life. You know, a makeover is such a big deal now. There's, I don't know how many countless YouTube videos about how to restore furniture, make it over. I think my wife watches every one of them, but programs on TV about making over a house, you know, and that one that they redo the house, and then they have a huge replica of what the house used to look like. And they say, "You ready to see your new house?" And they slide that replica. How much did it cost to make that replica? That's what I'm wondering. Put that money towards something else on the house. But no, they push that thing aside, and here's the new house. Oh, wow. Yeah. The Lord knows how to do a makeover. Oh, man. That's way beyond anything else. Praise God. Amen. A girl I graduated from Bible school with, sang in the choir with. I saw her in a magazine. You know, this was when the cosmetic makeovers were what was featured. The before and after. And I thought, Judith, that you don't need to have that kind of a makeover. You were beautiful in holiness. You were beautiful in singing in the choir. You were beautiful in sitting in those classes that I sat in with you and heard the truth of God's word taught powerfully. And we erupted in prayer and worship in those times. In our gatherings as seniors, and after spending 3 years in the Bible school, and our friendship and our knowledge of the things of God together are just beautiful. And we sat and cried and worshiped and glorified the Lord. You didn't need that makeover. You didn't need to go that route. And oh, I'm thankful that God does a makeover in our lives. I think about that man of Gadara. Yeah. I come back to him time and again. As the devil really made a makeover in his life. Separated him from his family, separated him from his workplace, separated him from his village, Gadara. He lived up in the hills, and he haunted the cemetery. And he screamed and cried and hollered and cut himself. And the townspeople tried to calm him down. They tried to tame him. They even tied him up, fetters and chains. But the devil, giving him supernatural strength, caused him to break all of those things, but didn't break him free from the torment that he was experiencing day and night. They heard him screeching and hollering and screaming up there and wondered, what are they going to do? What's the answer? But he sat one day and watched the storm upon the lake and probably reflected how his life was like that storm. No peace, no calm, nothing that would produce any kind of aspect of serenity in his life. No, it was the wind was blowing. The winds were crashing. The waves crashing against the shore. And then he saw a little boat out there, and it was being tossed to and fro. And he thought, "That's the way my life is." And then all of a sudden, the wind ceased. The waves stopped. And he's sitting up there looking at that. Because Jesus stood up in that boat. Because Jesus made it peaceful. Jesus made it calm. Jesus was able to make a difference. And that man ran down to the shore. and fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. The devils couldn't hold him back at that point. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful that the scripture says heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. The angels have a party when one sinner gives his heart to the Lord. And there must have been a party going on then. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, because the Lord made a difference in his life. He made him beautiful because he put on his clothes, wasn't tearing them off anymore. No, Hollywood wants to present it as things that are immoral and immodest. But thank the Lord, God is able to steer things around, to have modesty, to have peace and calm in his life, because he is sitting at the feet of Jesus and is in his right mind. Not stoned out of his mind, not drunk out of his mind, not doing any of those kinds of things that would bring about a shame and a smearing of his reputation. The Lord had made a difference and made things beautiful. That's the work that I want to see the Lord continue to do. The work that he makes things beautiful. Praise God. I'm glad the Bible says, this is real important, 1 John 3 and 8, the scripture says this is the purpose that the Son of God was manifested. This is why he came. This is what he desired to do. He wanted to destroy the works of the devil. Just destroy it. Not put it aside. Not counter it to some degree. Not bring about a solution and an answer to a certain amount of it. No, destroy it. Get rid of it. No longer have it effective. No longer let it be in operation. Destroy the works of the devil. And then he doesn't just leave it in shambles. He doesn't just leave it in ruins. No, he makes it beautiful. That's the work that God does in our lives. Amen. Even for those who think they're doing right. Even for those who think they're serving God. Saul of Tarsus thought he was on the right path. He thought he was going down the right direction. And when a young man named Stephen appeared and began to contradict the things that he stood for and began to explain how the Lord had many different plans for the people of Israel and how he wanted to change situations and make the law into something more than just rules and regulations, but bring the grace and truth of Jesus Christ into their lives and make it beautiful. Praise God. And even the council who was opposed to him, looking at Stephen and thought, he looks like an angel. Praise God. You ever have anybody say that about you? I say that to my wife, but it's the things that the Lord wants to do in all of us. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I forgot to give her a gift. No, I didn't. I did. I got her stuff. Praise God. And so Stephen gave an accurate history of Israel for 56 verses. Man, he really paid attention in the synagogue. He really listened to what was being said. He really listened to what was being taught because he could rehearse all the things that went on in Israel in a snapshot, in a thumbnail sketch of what had gone on. Amen. And then he, I'm sure they had to agree, but then he challenged them, "You do always resist the Holy Ghost." They should have been receiving the Holy Ghost, not resisting the Holy Ghost. After a recitation like that, after a description of what God was able to do through the years and through history and through the work of his grace and his love, and then they took up stones to stone him, and Saul of Tarsus consented to it, agreed to it. In fact, he held their coats. They took their garments off so they could throw the stones better that would end the life of Stephen. But he heard Stephen pray, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And I don't think it was beautiful in the sense of how his face was being cut and bruised and the life being crushed out of him as the stones pummeled him. And I don't think they were just little rocks that you use to skip on the water. I think they were grapefruit sized, and they threw them with as much velocity as they could muster, and soon he was dead. That stayed with Saul of Tarsus. That was an image he could not get out of his mind. See, that's why you got to be careful about what you see on the internet, too, because those images aren't going to be erased. That image of Stephen could not be erased for Saul of Tarsus. He remembered that young man saying, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." He remembered what he said about the Hebrew nation and how God moved and worked. It was all in his mind as well. And he remembered what had happened as he consented to the death of Stephen. But praise God, it wasn't just something that was a memory. God was at work. God was going to do something powerful. God was going to show Saul of Tarsus the work that he could do. And he interrupted his trip to Damascus, knocked him down in the dust of the road. A light shone upon him that Paul would, who was Saul of Tarsus, named Paul later, said it was above the brightness of the sun. Blinded him to everything that was in his world. That was the purpose that God shone that light for, not just to get his attention, but to blind him to everything else that he thought was important in his life, and to bring him to the point that he's got to understand God is the one getting your attention now. God is the one who is calling for you to look at him. And he would cry out, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Praise God. And that "I am" was what Saul of Tarsus was built on, was based on, his whole foundation. And Jesus made the declaration, "I am." And oh, what a change in Saul of Tarsus. Thank God, the beautiful work that God would do in his life, making him a missionary with a message, amen, and a mission that he stayed with for the rest of his life, and how the Lord showed he could make things beautiful. Praise God. Remember Jeremiah being told to go to the potter's house? He wrote about it in chapter 18. And he's wondering, what am I going here for? What do you want me to see, Lord? And so he stands there and watches the potter work his wheel and work with the clay. And he sees how there's imperfections and there's failure there in the formation of the vessel that the potter was making. And the potter just simply wadded up the clay, put it all back together again. All of the misshapen parts of the vase or whatever, the bowl, whatever he was working on. And he plopped it back on the wheel and started again. And the Lord said, "Can't I do with you, house of Israel, like the potter did with that clay? Can't I make you over again?" And oh, thank the Lord, he is able to do that. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us today to be like Isaiah in chapter 64 and verse 8. "Now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. We're the work of your hands." We want your hands to be at work. We want your hands to form us. We want your hands to be upon us. His hands are nail scarred, remember, because of his love for you. Not just so we have a story of a crucifixion and a resurrection. No, it's to change your life, to touch your life, to make a difference in your life. Praise God. That young man that we call the prodigal. Prodigal means wasteful. That's what he did. He wasted. Wasted his time, wasted his money, wasted his health, wasted his relationships, wasted what he could have had back on the farm, and he's at a place where he's just living it up. And then the money runs out, his friends run out, his health runs out, his options run out, and he's living on a pig farm. That's where he's working. And the farmer doesn't pay him very much because he's willing to consider eating some of that pig slop, some of those vegetables, some of those pods, some of that. I'm going to pull some of that out and eat it myself. What a horrible. And that's exactly the picture of sin. That's exactly what the enemy of your soul wants to do, to drag you down to the pig pen. Oh, it may seem glittery, it may seem wonderful, it may seem awesome to be able to be on your own. But when it ends up in starting out in selfishness and self-centeredness and self-willed, comes to destruction. But thank God he recognized he needed to go home. He wanted to make a confession. He wanted to return to his father. But thank God the remaking was what was going to be the outcome, the father's love. Amen. You're not going to be a servant. You're my son. We're going to have a celebration. We're going to clothe you with, not with rags. We're going to clean you up. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I know the mom is not mentioned there. But if the story were to be complete, I know there would be a mother's prayers. I know there would be a mother's tears. I know there'd be a mother's sleepless nights as she calls out to the Lord for her son. I know that. Praise God. And again, I honor you. I honor you, ladies, for your steadfastness and your prayer. It's beautiful. Praise God. And the Lord continues to make it beautiful. The scripture tells us it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And then look at this, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3 and 5. That washing of regeneration is none other than baptism in the name of Jesus Christ to wash you clean from your past, from your sins, from your wrongdoings, from your mistakes. And renewing of the Holy Ghost is the Lord making you beautiful by the power of his Spirit in your life. Thank God for the power and the blessing of the Lord. So that Paul would declare, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow. Is it that dynamic? Is it that powerful? Is it that wonderful? There's a whole bunch of us here that would say, amen. It sure enough is. Praise God. Because of the work that the Lord is able to do. And the Bible lets us know we go from glory to glory. Change to his image. Praise God. The Spirit of the Lord does that work. And soon there's going to be the final change. The changes that the Lord is making in our lives step by step. He's still making it beautiful. He's still making it good. Hallelujah. He's still bringing forth his plan, but there is going to be that final change. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad the changes of the Lord that he makes in our lives are powerful. I read the story of a man named Mace. That was his nickname, Mace. He was a druggie, probably a rough character. That's why I use the word Mace, the name Mace. He became very sick. He had HIV. He had infections. Infection in his arm in particular put him in the hospital. But somebody began to witness to him. Somebody began to teach him. And Mace ended up getting the Holy Ghost. Praise God. God healed him of HIV. God healed him of the infection in his arm. Praise God. And the doctor that was treating him was so amazed, he got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Our Lord knows how to make things beautiful. Beautiful. And here's what the Bible says. Psalm 149 and verse 4. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. Praise God. And moms, the Lord is taking pleasure in you today. Just as we are, but even more so. The Lord's taking pleasure in you. And then notice, he will beautify the meek with salvation. That's what's important. That's what's priority, salvation. That's what you've got to have more than anything else. Amen. Amen. The car you drive may not be the latest model. You probably have to pray over it with tongues and interpretation before you turn the key. The house you live in or apartment or whatever may not be the greatest and the latest and the best. It may be just barely livable. The clothes you wear may not be new and may not be been new for years. But if you've got salvation, if the Lord has beautified you with salvation, that's what's eternal. Cars don't last anyway. Houses don't last anyway. Clothes don't last anyway. But oh, salvation is forever. Salvation is eternal. Salvation is everlasting. Hallelujah. Thank God that he's able to make all things beautiful. Hallelujah, because of the blessing that he's able to bring into our lives. And we can worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's what God thinks is beautiful. Amen. The world may mock. The world may laugh. The world may give you a second look, especially in our ladies who are walking in holiness. But the Lord considers it beautiful, and that's what counts. Praise God. He's coming for a glorious church. He's going to present it to himself. Praise God. A church that is without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or any such thing. Paul didn't want to go on and keep naming things. He said, anything like that. Without. Praise God. But what it does have is it's holy. Amen. It's holy. It's set apart for the Lord. It's dedicated to God. It's beautiful in his eyes. Praise God. John heard great voices. Sound like many waters. Sound like mighty thundering. Wow, it was loud. And this is what they were saying. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Praise God. She's ready. Didn't just lollygag along. Didn't just say, well, I got time. No, made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Hallelujah. Thank God for a people who is committed to the Lord's process of making you beautiful. And beautiful in his time. And from beginning to end, Solomon says, from beginning to end, he works his plan. I'm thankful to know he works his plan from the end to the beginning. He knows front and back. Praise God. We don't know about tomorrow, but our God is able to put forth his plan. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful his plan includes throwing Satan into a bottomless pit. Praise God. And locking it up. Amen. Amen. And there's peace on the earth for 1,000 years when Satan is locked up. You know, that's a key. You want peace. You want joy. You want completion. You want blessing. Get rid of Satan in your life. Don't listen to his lies. Don't listen to his deceit. Don't follow his direction. Get rid of Satan in your life, and then let the Lord add his blessing. Let the Lord add his power. Let the Lord add his goodness. Praise God. And we'll move into that heavenly realm of the blessing of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. because salvation is the most important. Now, is that just a one-time deal? Is that just a one touch that the Lord gives? No. We know the Lord continues his work because it's a good work, right? Remember that? A good work in you. And we just let it continue. Praise God. And the devil comes with his plan, his lies, his deception, his deceit, his tricks, and tries to mess things up. But thank God, we can keep letting the Lord make it beautiful. Amen. And we try to keep ourselves out of the way. The self wants to mess things up. But no, we let the Spirit take over. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit direct us. Let the Word of God order our steps. Amen. We're not going to let sin have dominion over us. No, we're going to walk into that freedom and that blessing of the Lord, because he will make things beautiful. Amen. Stand, please. We know the Lord is not the author of confusion. He's the author of salvation, eternal salvation. He's the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes.
Praise God. He's the one who gets it started. He's the one who's able to finish it up. Bring it to completion. Praise God. And so, that's what I've got to be committed to. That's what I've got to dedicate myself to. Lord, I'm gonna follow you. I'm gonna walk with you. I'm gonna serve you. I'm gonna obey you. I'm gonna find everything I can about you, Lord, and apply it to my life. See, because we don't just put our spiritual walk on cruise control and here we go. No, there's the effort, there's the walk, there's the seeking that we do in our lives, because we want something more beautiful, amen, that the Lord wants to put in our lives, amen. And thank God, his love and his compassion and his mercy and his grace never run out. And he just keeps applying it to us. He just keeps changing us. He keeps improving us. He keeps blessing us. He keeps strengthening us. Amen. He keeps purifying us. He keeps healing us. Jesus. He keeps delivering us. And the list goes on and on and on.
Praise God.
Praise God. And we know it's real. We Hallelujah. Know it's powerful.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And I just want us to say today with all of our hearts, Lord, make me beautiful according to your plan. Make me beautiful according to your will. Make me beautiful, Lord, so that I can step into that beautiful realm called heaven when you call me to that place. Praise God. Can you come now and let's spend a few minutes in prayer? It's early. I know you've got special plans to honor moms, and rightly you should. You definitely should. And I know that's waiting for us here this afternoon. But let's take a few minutes right now to pray and desire the touch of the Lord in our lives. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Something beautiful.